This is Strange Harbor.
The evidence is overwhelming that what we were taught in school about ancient human civilization, particularly about the ancient Egyptians, is far from accurate. Specifically, that our true history was once far older and advanced than we ever thought possible. And the most recent scientific evidence further demonstrates that the Great Pyramid of Giza, Egypt, was not a tomb built for the pharaohs, but is literally a massive technological structure that is beyond our current understanding. You may have seen the news articles that reported on a recent study published in the Journal of Applied Physics, which showed that the Great Pyramid can concentrate electromagnetic energy inside of its internal chambers, as well as under its base and inside the subterranean chamber. Because of this discovery, which was based off calculations of the pyramid, we are able to advance nanosensor technology. So it just so happens that the largest and most mysterious structure ever built, done with extreme precision which mimics modern day laser cut technology, and they say that they did this with chisels and bronze saws. Those proposed methods have long been since debunked. Did you know that the location of the Great Pyramid of Giza, Egypt, just so happens to be the location that they were going to choose to be the prime meridian? It's funny how they never mentioned that not one single mummy was ever found in any of these pyramids ever. We don't even mention that in school for some reason. The most mysterious structure in the history of mankind just so happens to be located on this one unique spot. And here's another fact to add on top of that. The Great Pyramid faces true north almost perfectly. In fact, down to a fraction of 1 degree of accuracy. It just so happens that they are able to focus and concentrate on electromagnetic energy, which they are saying is going to help us advance our modern technology. Is it possible that the Great Pyramid of Giza was a power plant that somehow operated on the same premise that Nikola Tesla had theorized? I think that it's possible, indeed probable, that we are a species with amnesia, that we've lost the record of our story going back thousands of years before so-called history began. And I think if we could go back to that dark epoch, we would discover many astounding things about ourselves.
Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. This is Strange Harbor.
And another exciting episode of Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird.
The strange, the undeserving, and the undeliberate.
Johnny and Billy here, and we talk cryptozoology. That's a fancy word for, like, Sasquatch, Dogman, you know, animals that we are, or species that we're not quite sure of, haven't been discovered, I guess. Ghosts. Goblins, Bill likes to say, near death, afterlife, and psychics.
Psychics.
And, yep, our guest is returns, psychic Ted Marr. Welcome back to Strange Harbor.
Well, thank you so much, Johnny and Bill. It's great to be here.
Well, it's great to have you.
Thank you.
So what's been going on in the psychic world?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm writing a second book. I wrote a book called Messages from the Masters, with messages from Albert Einstein, President Kennedy, and Nostradamus about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And I was contacted by a publisher in Germany who asked me to write a second book on talking to angels and benevolent extraterrestrials on the other side. So I've been working on that for months now. It's nearing completion. It'll be sent to Germany by the end of December. And then it'll be published in German and in English out of Munich.
Awesome.
Probably in the next couple of months. So that's the latest project I've been working on. And then I'll be leaving in about a month's time, a little more than a month, for Peru to Machu Picchu, where I'm taking a small group of people. We'll be going to Machu Picchu, among other places. And they've told me, Johnny and Bill, how to get into the Hollow Earth. They said that they tell me where to go in the ruins. And there'll be someone from the Hollow Earth waiting for me, and we'll be taken down by shuttle. So that'll be, I'm looking forward to that. And then after that, I get back, and I go to Los Angeles, and I'm giving presentations there at the Conscious Life Expo in February. And then I do my own Galactic Wisdom Conference in Olympia, Washington, on March 13th, 14th, and 15th, where... Johnny, I'd love to have you and Bill come, if you like. It would be really a lot of fun to have you both there.
Sure.
And the website is www.galacticwisdomconference.com. Simon Parks looks like he'll be coming there in person from England. It's the first time he's traveled in many years, and things have really changed for him. He may be working here in the United States soon. I don't know all the details, but he'll be there along with Alex Collier, who's a contactee from the Andromeda Galaxy. People in the Andromeda Galaxy actually have blue skin because of their sun's blue, and over the millennia, their skin color has turned blue. Of course, Michiko Hayashi will be there as well from the Moto Peach Project, giving her wonderful hot water treatments. James Redfield, who's the famous author of The Celestine Prophecy back in the 90s, he'll be there as well. Another friend of mine named Tom Palladino, who's a scalar energy healer from Florida, will be there. Tom's an amazing guy. He uses Tesla technology to heal people through photographs. And I know it sounds crazy, but what he does is that he'll take a person's picture, for example, and run it through his Tesla machines. It changes their vibration to get rid of many different diseases, including he's been very successful with people in India who have AIDS and HIV. And he's had a recently a very high success rate in getting rid of eliminating, curing people with AIDS in India. And I was actually in India 2 months ago, and I interviewed some of the people he had cured, and he's really done it. Anyway, that'll be in March, and then in April I'm going back to India, and then in June, tentatively, I've got a trip planned to visit the elves of Iceland. In Iceland, before they construct a new road, there's a government minister who consults the elves in Iceland. I know it sounds crazy, but it's true. Because what the Icelanders have found out is that if they try to build a road, Johnny and Bill, without consulting the elves first, the elves will stop the machinery. They'll cause weather to be cold. They'll just literally stop the project. So they have to consult with the elves.
And those elves what they are do. Pesky.
Yeah, they're entities. So and then I'll be going back to Mount Shasta again in early July. I was at Mount Shasta last September, and when I was there, this is a true story. I had blurry, farsighted vision in my right eye, 20/50 vision for decades, after I sunburned the cornea of my eye one year, and I experienced a miracle healing. While at Mount Shasta, Adama, the high priest of the Hollow Earth underneath Mount Shasta, restored my eyesight to crystal clear, 20/10 vision in both eyes. And we're getting more and more miracle healings happening. So if people want to go to Mount Shasta with me, then just send me an email.
Now, you've always kind of promoted water. Can you refresh our memories or enlighten those that maybe are new to the show about our relationship with water and maybe even the prayer that you do with water?
Oh, okay. Thank you, Johnny. Yeah, I've always been interested in water, and the emphasis on water started actually on July 25th, 2014. When I had Dr. Emoto on my radio show, and he found that if you send positive thoughts to a glass of water, all these beautiful patterns and crystals happen. And I asked him during the interview I had with him back in July of 14, if we could use his techniques to create world peace. And he said, sure, it should work. So at the time, the Israelis and the Palestinians were fighting. And so, in the Gaza Strip, so I asked him to do an experiment along with all my listeners to send lots of love and light to the Israelis and the Palestinians, and to ask for a 12-hour ceasefire so they could exchange medical food and medical supplies for the wounded. That happened at about, I believe it was about 2:30 or 3:30 p.m. Seattle time. And then I went home to where I was staying and turned on the television at about 8:30 p.m. that night, Johnny and Bill, and it's a true story. soon as I turned it on, I turned on CNN to see what was happening in the world, and the television screens had this red banner at the bottom saying, the BBC has just announced that the Israelis and the Palestinians had just agreed to a spontaneous 12-hour ceasefire to exchange medical supplies and food for the wounded on both sides. And so our intention experiment worked. And so ever since then, I've been interested in Dr. Moto's work and on water. We are 70% water, and planet Earth is also 70% water. What Dr. Moto used to say is that God is water, and water is also God. In other words, since water is everywhere, God is everywhere, and so is water. And he always used to say that. I thought that was really fascinating. What he did, he had what he called Tato machines to treat people with water. And let's say you had cancer, which cancer cells vibrate at 2 hertz per second, very low vibration. In theory, what he would do is that he would have you put your hand on one of these electronic pads associated with these Tato or vibrational machines. And the machine would read you as to what's wrong with you or what needed to be fixed or helped. And then he would put a bottle of water on this pad, and the machine would program the water to adjust your vibration, to raise your vibration to the right frequency so that your cancer would be gone, or physical problems would be gone. It also works for emotional things, too, and spiritual things. And he successfully treated something like 10,000 people before he passed away in October of 2014. I have one of those machines. I bought one here last year, and it does really work. It's amazing. It doesn't work. It works in many instances. It's not 100%, but it really helps people. It also works for diagnostic things as well. I've got a simple machine, but there are more advanced machines which go back 7 lifetimes, and it can tell you spiritually where your diseases may have come from. So I've been interested in water for a long time. Thank you for asking about that, Johnny. Appreciate it.
Yeah. When you were down for the Sasquatch Summit in November, I got a chance to experience. I don't remember what it was called. The young lady that was there with the water.
Oh yeah, Michiko Hayashi. Yeah, she she is the head of the Emoto Peace Project, and she was Dr. Emoto's assistant for 10 years before he passed away in 2014, and she had the Hato machines there as well.
Right, and I got to see it in action.
Oh, good. Wonderful.
And can you explain what that machine does for me?
Sure. What it does, it goes into the... First, it's a diagnostic machine,
mm-hmm.
first off, and it goes back 7 lifetimes, 7 lifetimes, and tries to find out the spiritual reasons for whatever physical or spiritual issue you may have. The word itself, disease, is often, if you split it into infinitive, disease becomes dis-ease. So the theory is that there's always a spiritual cause, or in Dr. Moto's theory, a Hato cause, a vibrational cause for any kind of spiritual or physical issue. And so what it does is that when you put your hand on the electronic pad, it actually reads your body. It can determine what kind of vibration you should have to get rid of whatever you'd like to get rid of. Or if you, for example, would like financial abundance, or to find a sweetheart, or maybe repair relations with a relative, it does that too. It's amazing. We had a case about a year and a half ago. A real nice lady came in to see Mitchie. She was at my Galactic Wisdom Conference last year here in Olympia, but she hadn't seen her daughter. I hadn't talked to her in like 20, 25 years, and she was in her mid-late 60s, and she said, Ted, you know, I'm getting older. I haven't talked to my daughter in decades. I'd sure like to have a good relationship with her now that I'm getting older. And so she had one of these huddle treatments. I didn't do it, but Michi and Dr. Yoshi, and another fellow from Japan who's a specialist in these machines, had her put her hand on this electronic pad, and they found out that this conflict between her and her daughter had been going back several lifetimes. And in this lifetime, they were supposed to heal the relationship because they'd been fighting so much in these other lifetimes. And so they ended up, they programmed water for her to have better relations with her daughter. She drank the water that day, and within two days, her daughter called her for the first time in 20, 25 years, and they've been getting along great ever since. So sometimes it doesn't work immediately. It takes time, and you need, many, many treatments of it. But that's a story I like to tell because it's a true story, and I was there to witness it. And I can't tell you how happy she was after being isolated from her daughter for 20 or 25 years and talking to her again. So that's basically how it works. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes it's slow and it takes a while for the effects to happen. Other times it's immediate.
Nice.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, and I think the only way to explain a machine like that is that it's not totally third dimensional. I think it goes into the fourth and fifth dimensions, frankly. Especially with respect to the spiritual reasons why, like this lady had, not a really good relationship with her daughter, and because if she went in to see a medical doctor couldn't help her, a psychologist might be able to help her. It depends, but they would really need to go back into past lives to understand why this conflict happened. But anyway, it's an amazing device, and I've seen it work so many times. It's an incredible experience.
You're writing this new book about communicating with angels, right?
Angels, spirit guides, and benevolent entities.
Yeah, benevolent entities. How do you keep your composure in something like that? Like if I was able to do something like this, I think I would have a hard time, like, just being calm. I'd be, oh my gosh, I can't believe it, I'm talking to an angel right now! You know what I mean?
Let me tell you what happened to me. It's a true story. I come from a psychic family, and I've been talking to the other side since November of '94, over 25 years now. And it was February. What year was that? February of 2015, and I'd been at the South Sound Community College here in Olympia all day working on my radio show. And it was late in the afternoon. The sun was just going down. It's a beautiful, it was been raining, you know how it rains up here, and the sun was just coming through. And I had been thinking all day about what Albert Einstein would say about all the world events and how he would do today to help the planet. And so I had just walked out of the building, and I was walking to my car, when I heard this voice in my head, and the voice said, I hear you want to talk to me. I looked around, and I said, who's this? And I wasn't really shocked, in a way, because I've had that happen to me before, where spirits will come to me. But I was surprised, and so I looked around, and he said, this is Albert Einstein. And I told him, I think I better sit down.
Right.
So we sat down, and I sat down on this park bench in this forested area on the college grounds. We talked for about 3.5 hours. And he said, the first thing he said, if he said he had to do it all over again, it would have never helped with the atomic bomb, because it's been a bomb of destruction. No good has come of it. It's pushed humanity to the brink many times of nuclear war. And instead, he would have created what he called a bomb of love. And he actually wrote a letter to his daughter, Listerl, back when he was alive, in 1950, just before he passed away in 55. And he asked her to keep it for 30 years and then release it in 1985, which she did. So I looked it up on the web after we got off, after I finished talking to him. And there it was. He told me about it. And he said that love was the most important force in the universe. It was very powerful. And if we based our decisions on love, that we would survive, and we wouldn't have any nuclear war or any kind of conflicts here on the planet. So after talking with Professor Einstein for a while, he said, would you like to meet my friends? And I said, sure, your friends are my friends. So the first entity to come through was Leonardo da Vinci. And I've always been interested in Mr. Da Vinci's work and how he was able to, draw these fantastic, like, flying machines and things from the future. And he said, well, what he would do, he was an excellent, fantastic artist. He would time travel in the future by astral travel, and then he'd remember everything by the next morning, and then that would lead to his drawing. So he's basically a time traveler who, like Nostradamus, went many, many years in the future, and then he would come back and draw these pictures with his artwork. And then he asked me if I'd like to meet his friends, and I said, oh, most certainly. And the first entity to come through was Senator Robert F. Kennedy. And Senator Kennedy, or Bobby Kennedy, he told me many things, including his assassination, how Sirhan never did kill him. Actually, there was a CIA agent just behind him as a security guard who actually fired the fatal shots right in his neck. That was all covered up by the coroner's office in Los Angeles under pressure from President Johnson, unfortunately. So, but Sirhan actually, he said, was innocent. He never did shoot him. He was mind-controlled, and they wanted to get rid of Bobby Kennedy because Miss Senator Kennedy would have had an investigation, and he would have, had he been elected, and he would have been elected, actually, they said, into his brother's death, and they would have got to the bottom of who actually killed JFK. And I said, well, I'd love to talk to your brother, President Kennedy. He said, he's right here. So Jack Kennedy and President Kennedy and I have been in communication since that time. He's around me all the time, as well as Jackie is the First Lady. He helped me write my first book. He's actually helping me write my second book now, as well as Nostradamus has been helping. Professor Einstein has been helping me quite a bit. You know, he wants me to share a funny thing. Do you know what his nickname was when he was growing up as a kid?
Mm-mm.
For Brainy Boy. And often in school, believe it or not, he would have terrible grades because he would sit and daydream out, looking out the windows, and that's when his imagination started going. And he'd travel different places, and he'd bring back knowledge. But talking to an angel is just like talking to you and I talking now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that it's in a different dimension, and they communicate through thought. So you have to pay very close attention to your thought. They communicate not through so much the logical mind, but through your heart mind. And you've got angels around you, Johnny, and they're very proud of your work. And Bill, both of you. But they're there, but you have to pay very close attention to what thoughts come into your head.
More with psychic Ted Marr coming up on Strange Harbor. You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.
Not a lot do. This pilot, though, who flew Barack Obama during his 2008 presidential campaign, says UFOs are real, and he's seen one firsthand. Here to share his almost unbelievable stories, pilot Andy Danziger. Nice to see you this morning.
Good morning.
Now, we should be clear that this incident that you saw happened in 1989. Why did it take so long for you to talk about it?
There was no formal policy at my airline or any airline I've ever worked for that said not to talk about it, but it was kind of unwritten. We were young, we were new in our careers, and the way people tended to be ridiculed about all this, you just kind of kept quiet.
So this came out during a Daily News interview recently when you were asked about it.
That's correct.
Had you ever seen a UFO? And you responded that you had, and you went into detail about it. So what happened in 1989 on that day?
Unbelievable. We were flying from Kansas City to Waterloo, Iowa. I was just a first officer in a commuter airline turboprop. And crystal clear skies in Kansas City, crystal clear skies forecast in Waterloo. Supposed to be good weather en route, only a couple hundred, 250 miles away. We reached our cruise altitude of 15,000 feet, and all of a sudden we just noticed, you know, we're busy in the climb out. There's little, smaller airplanes didn't have autopilots. It leveled out, and a lot of thin, wispy clouds all around us. I noticed off to my right, and I was sitting in the right seat, was a white disc, just kind of thin, visible, barely visible behind the clouds, or dimly visible behind the clouds. And it was a little odd, but, you know, we were used to seeing a lot of things in the sky, so when you see something strange, you start looking around trying to figure out what it is.
Welcome to Strange Harbor. If you've had an out-of-the-ordinary experience, then come to strangeharbor.net and let us know what it is.
It's Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird, and our guest today, our good friend Ted Marr, psychic. And Ted, we've been talking about communicating with angels and aliens and benevolent entities in other dimensions. I get some really wild thoughts come in my head. You know?
I'm sure you do.
Johnny has some very active angels.
Right. Something.
Yeah, I've had communications with the angels for,
great.
50 plus years. And I even did a television show about talking with angels. Back in, I think it was 94 or 5. But, yeah, they're there. I mean, if we take the time to communicate with our angels and understand how to communicate with them, how to access them, we can certainly do that.
Do you ever get people that they like challenge your credibility, like with things like, well, if you're such a good psychic, how come you don't predict lottery numbers and things like that?
You're funny.
You know what you're I'm talking funny. About, right? I bet you get people like that.
Once in a while I will.
Yeah. How do you deal with those?
I just answer their questions, and then I'm able to sometimes help them, actually, and then they change their tune, and they're much more conciliatory.
Oh, yeah.
With respect to lottery numbers, most times the spirits want you to work for abundance, for wealth. And it depends on the circumstances, but most times they will not tell you the lottery numbers. I did have one spirit, when was it? It's about 4 years ago, a lady called me up, and she really needed the money, and her grandfather came through, and he gave her the first couple of numbers. That's as close. Mm-hmm. You need like 6 numbers or something, or
right.
5.
Something like that.
And he gave me the first 2. It turned out to be true, but the rest of them she had to guess. So...
I gotta earn it? I gotta earn my own wealth? What? That's not right.
True.
So I have a question for you, and this is just trying to understand some of the processes that you use versus things that other people do. Can you tell us the difference between a psychic like yourself and, say, a fortune teller, tarot reader, or palm reader, or something like that?
Sure. Tarot readers, I want to let you know, I do tarot codes, too, sometimes.
Yeah.
But I've been doing this for a while now, and most of the time, I mean, for me, tarot cards are wonderful. They're a great tool for contacting the other side. But remember that they're a tool, and for me, I just sit quietly, cover myself in a white light for protection, and then I just let the spirits come in and start talking to me. So, and I talk to them all the time too. It's very easy for me to go into the other dimensions. It, it's just because I've been doing it for a long time, and in my family it was normal to do that kind of thing. It's normal to talk to people who passed on, and the spirits are saying they're not dead, they're alive, but they're just in another different and higher dimension. So as far as like a tarot reader goes, it's just merely I use tarot cards too sometimes, but they're just another way to to find out about the future, another tool. Fortune tellers, if they're psychic, they can be good. I'm sure there's some charlatans out there that
I'm sure of it.
You know, you have to be careful of. But the main thing when dealing with anyone, whether it's a psychic or a tarot reader or a fortune teller, is to trust your heart, your gut intuition. If you feel good about the person, if you feel like they're going to help you and maybe get some good answers from your angels and spirit guides for whatever you need advice on, then go with it. If you get a feeling like they're just using you to milking you for whatever money they can get, then stay away. The other thing too, that the issue that I've run across sometimes is where, what if you do a reading for someone and you see some negative things happening in their future? Let's say disease or something along those lines. Well, the way to handle that, if you get negative information, you're a psychic about somebody, is to not blurt out and tell them, saying, "Well, I'm seeing you dying, you know, like next week," or something like that. You don't want to say that. Instead, the better way to handle it is that if you continue on this particular path, this will probably happen. But you have a choice, since it's all free will on this planet. If you take a different path and take these other choices, you can avoid these negative things from happening. And I know it's a little bit different topic, but that's how I handle it. I've heard stories of sometimes people who have psychic abilities and they're relatively new at doing this, and if they see something negative for somebody happening, like death in 6 months or whatever, they tell them straight out. And that's not a good way to handle it, because our minds are very powerful and we all have free will, and it's all choices. And negativity is a choice too, in a way. So that I always give people choices, you know, with respect to any kind of information like that.
Nice.
Good. That was a good explanation. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Bill. Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Johnny. When I first started this was back in, it was November of 94. I went to see my foster mother, and I walked in her living room, and I had a series of questions for her. And before I was even able to open my mouth, she knew what all my questions were and gave me the answers right there, just as I walked in. And I was floored. I said, "Oh my gosh, how did you ever do that?" She said, "I'm a psychic. I talk to the other side." So she taught me how to do that. And she used to find missing and lost children for the Seattle area and Auburn, Washington police departments. But she said it was pretty depressing work sometimes, because you would find out where this child was or what had happened, and often the child wasn't alive or they'd been terribly abused. She used to help police departments find cases, and the police departments always used to tell her, "Don't tell anybody you're doing this, because if you do and people find out, we're liable to lose our funding."
Right.
Yeah.
They think we're crazy hiring you. But they would hire her for the very tough cases where they couldn't figure it out, and she was able to help them many, many times.
Nice. Has any law enforcement approached you about working for them, or do they already have those positions filled?
Let's just say that I have been approached by agencies recently to do work for them, and it looks like I will be doing some work for them in the future. So
nice,
good.
Yeah, they want to keep it confidential, so I'll just say that.
Right.
That doesn't violate anything.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of there's a lot more police departments using psychics than we know about, and for that reason, that they've kept it quiet because people don't, not everybody believes that psychics can help them. And
Oh, sure.
I've known several over the years, and I think that there are a lot more people out there with those skills than we're aware of.
Yeah, that's true, Bill. And I think a lot of people, I think, you know, work doing psychic work is much more accepted now than it used to be. But still, I think that, you know, if they made it public, there could be a banner headline across a local newspaper saying, you know, a local police department hires psychic to solve case. The public may not accept it. I don't know.
Right.
Some people would. Some people wouldn't. But for now, they keep it quiet. So I said, that's fine.
Do you have any big things that you foresee happening in this coming year?
I do, actually. I think it's going to be a year of disclosure on many, many levels. I think we're going to have tremendous, I think a lot of information is going to come out about the secret space program that's been ongoing for decades. And the most important part of that is the technology that'll be released to really help people cure cancer, restore limbs. They have what's called medical beds on the dark side of the moon in the secret space program right now, which can, I've heard about them anyway, that which can restore somebody's limb if they've lost a leg or a hand or an arm or something in an accident. Medical beds that can cure cancer within a couple of hours. It actually changes the vibration of the person's body so that the cancer's gone. It's much like the Hotto machines do with the vibrational water treatments.
And you said it's on the moon?
Yeah, on the dark side of the moon, they've got secret bases there. It's called the LOC, Lunar Operations Command Center, and it's you paid for it. You and I paid for it with our tax dollars, and it's there. And they also, there's bases on Mars too. They've had this operational since the 50s, and it's kind of like a whole separate space program. We have NASA on one side, that's for public relations, but on the other side, we actually have a secret space program that actually travels in different parts of the solar system. And I just wish they'd be honest with this. I mean, we paid for it. And they've got technology there that they've reverse engineered from captured UFOs and whatnot that humanity can only dream of. It's like Star Trek. A lot of the episodes in Star Trek are based upon actual technology and actual things happening out there in the universe. So it was a way for getting people prepped for alien and UFO contact. So, but it's going to be an exciting year. I think a lot of the truth is going to come out, and we'll be talking a year from now, Johnny and Bill. And we'll talk about what an amazing year it's been, and all the things that have come out in the press and for the public.
Do you offer your services to just people in general, like off the street? Hey, I want to give you a couple bucks to look into my future or anything. Do you do stuff like that, or is that something different?
Oh yeah, I do that all the time for people. And if you like, I can give out my email and phone number if people want a reading or want to get a hold of me.
Sure.
Certainly, yeah.
Okay, yeah. My phone number is area code 509-750-9793. And my email is just my radio program. It's outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And then I broadcast on Fridays from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. If you want to listen, you can go to my website. People can go to my website, listen to past shows at www.outofthisworld1150.com. Also, if people are hard up or they want a reading or they're facing difficult times and they don't have any money, I'm happy to give them a free reading too. Or sometimes if a relative's passed on and if it helps, I'm happy to give a reading for free to people. I do that too for people. So I like to be service to others and do what I can to make the planet a better place. But people are welcome to contact me anytime for a reading.
And when is your show on again?
Yeah, it's Friday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Seattle time. And you can listen to it in Seattle at Seattle Tacoma Olympia. The signal's here at 11:50 a.m. Or if you're on the Internet, you can listen to it in the harbor area at www.1150kknw.com. And that's live. You can listen to the show live from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. On Fridays. Also, and then after the shows, you can listen after the broadcast, you can listen to past shows at www.outofthisworld1150.com, and I've got all my shows there for the past 6 years. And there's no charge for it. It's all free. You know, you don't have to be a coast-to-coast insider, so to speak,
right,
to access it. It's all free. Oh, I wanted to tell you, too, that I am coming up to Ocean Shores to give a presentation. I believe it's in the evening of January 22nd. They're having me there, and I'll be doing readings too. I'm not sure where, but if you're welcome. It's open to the public, so you're welcome to come. Just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or people can call me at 509-750-9793, and I'm happy to tell them about it. I don't have all the information right now.
Right.
Good. Yeah, I live in Ocean Shores, so I'll look forward to that.
Place.
Yeah.
What a lovely place.
Well, Ted, thanks for letting us have some of your time today to talk about what's been going on in the psychic world.
Oh, my pleasure, Johnny and Bill. Mm-hmm. I always enjoy talking to you guys, and you're welcome to come to my conference for free in March. I'd love to have you there. Have a table if you like. You're doing wonderful work. I went to the Sasquatch conference a couple weeks ago and really loved it. And you're having your own UFO summit too in early March, and I plan to be there. But thank you so much again for inviting me on today. This has been a lot of fun.
All right. Well, we hope
you
back.
Ted. We really appreciate you coming on.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure, Bill and Johnny. You guys are doing great work, and I really appreciate your work too.
Thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Hey. All right, my friends. All right. Have a good Christmas.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
Well, it's good to talk to Ted Marr, psychic extraordinaire, once again. So
what do you think about psychics, Johnny?
I don't know. You know, I don't think it's not true or not possible. I've had my own weird, unexplainable things like that happen. Like psychic kind of things going, well, wait a minute, that's kind of, whoa, wait, you know, or just certain just strange things. I can't explain it, but I don't know if it's a sixth sense or what, but there's something there. There's something there going on.
Yeah, I've known a number of psychics in my experiences in the paranormal world, and being around people that have paranormal experiences and paranormal abilities. And there's different kinds of psychics and there's different attitudes about it. There's different approaches to it, different techniques. I've heard people, psychics, who I think are valid, say that it actually takes a lot of work. It takes energy to do what they do, to perceive things. I think there's a couple of different things that happen with psychics. Some people are just really good, some psychics, at reading all that they see. In other words, if they're talking to a person, they read their body language, their eye movements. They can ask certain questions that will get responses that lead them in a certain direction. And then there's other people that receive messages even without trying to read another person. And I think that both are valid, because one is kind of reading the person, I don't know how much psychic ability when you're reading a person. It's kind of like being an FBI profiler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you take all the information you have about the person, even though it's not all that's available or all that there is. It's all that you have. And you extrapolate on that. You kind of expand on it and see where it goes. Then there's other psychics who, I think kind of like Ted, you know, that have visions, that have communications with spirits, angels, other things. I don't consider myself a psychic, but I do talk to spirits. I communicate with them. I have for 50 years been communicating with the spirits ever since my near-death experience in the Vietnam War. But I think there's a variety. And, it's just like what he said about, like, tarot card readers. Tarot cards are a tool that are used to draw conclusions. And I think that many psychics use a variety of different tools to draw conclusions. I've never met anybody who's 100% correct in their visions and their predictions, but I've met people who are maybe 60% correct, which I think is astounding. That says that, you know, it's more than just a guess. There's some maybe additional information that they're getting that helps them to make a prediction or things. I predicted the Seahawks would go to the playoffs this year, and now my prediction has come true. So,
well, you know what? I predict the Seahawks are going to lose.
They've already clinched a playoff spot, so...
No, but they're going to lose, though, in the playoffs.
In the playoffs? Okay, well...
That's my prediction, because they always do.
I predict they'll win game one. I don't know what will happen after that.
They're going to choke like they always do. Anyway. Hey, that'll do it for this episode of Strange Harbor. If you'd like to contact us or yell at Bill for his new age hooey, log on to strangeharbor.net.
And stay strange.
You're listening to Strange Harbor, Ghosts, UFOs, Aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.